you are familiar with the concept of saints. Probably everybody, one way or another. We have a picture of what a saint really is. Probably our picture of what a saint is heavily dependent upon the picture that we have of people like Mother Teresa or somebody like that. I'm a little old-fashioned. I was reading this week about Irenaeus, one of the early leaders of the church. A lot of people refer to him as a saint. So I have this kind of picture in my head. This is a person who is kind of almost represents something more than I could ever hope to be. Something that I could only dream about attaining. But I just have this feeling that I'm really not a saint. This evening, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about being saints or being sanctified people. And we're going to do it with two kind of parallel tracks. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about us as sanctified people, and we'll kind of begin with the passage that we read from 2 Corinthians. We are sanctified people in God. And at the same time that we're doing that, we're going to think about the parable of the prodigal son. So you'll see some images up here that came, they're literally still images that came from a film that was done relatively recently to try to illustrate what was happening with the parable of the prodigal son. We're not going to read that parable. I think everybody's probably very aware of the way that that parable went. So we're just going to refer to that, and we'll try to sort of pick up some thoughts from the parable of the prodigal, because I think those things that we see in the parable of the prodigal son are illustrative of our sainthood. When I say that we can be saints, that means a couple of things. First, it's a great encouragement to think that I could be a person that would be described as a godly person. To just imagine that somebody would ever be able to write on my tombstone, "This was a man that served God." I can't envision anything that I can think of that's greater than that. And it's a real honor that I could ever hope to be in that position. So it's a great encouragement, and it presents a great possibility to us to know that we can be people that are recognized as serving God, people that are God's people in this place here in Eugene, Oregon. That we could be that kind of people is almost beyond imagining. When I say that we're saints, that we are sanctified people, most of us probably don't immediately think about the prodigal in the pig pen. But that's really where we all start. We are people who, created in the image of God, were born sinless, came into this world, and before long, we figured out how to sin. We figured out how to tell lies. And we for the most part, I know I did, we get pretty good at it. Because unfortunately, lying works. I got pretty good at telling my parents things that they probably didn't believe them, but at least they acted like they believed them, and they let me get away with a lot of stuff. And because I could get away with a lot of stuff, I got good at it. That's why Jeremiah talks about sin as the overcoming sin as if it was the leopard changing his spots. That's how hard it is, because we learn that this works. And as a behavioral psychologist, I can tell you that most of us do the things that we do because they don't take a whole lot of energy from us, and they work. I'm a fisherman, too, and I have learned that fish are really pretty predictable. They're going to do the least that they can possibly do in order to get the food that they need to get. They're not going to go just chasing all over the water. They're going to find a place to sit, and swim, and they're going to stay there because food drips downstream right by their nose. All they have to do is just reach up, grab a piece of food, and then go back and stay right there. And they're going to hide behind a rock because they don't have to swim. They just hide behind the rock. And if you've ever watched fish in a river or a stream, they don't exert much energy staying right there. Well, sometimes they do exert a lot of energy when you think about fish that are swimming upstream to spawn. But most of us learn to be sinners. And we got good at it. And like the prodigal, we wound up in the pig pen. Now, we didn't think we were going to end up there. The prodigal didn't think he was going to end up there either. We thought it was going to be something that we could practice and we could get some reward out of it, and that was all that was going to happen. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, says, if you pursue this, eventually you'll get to the point that you do things that are not convenient. That's a really interesting phrase, to do things that are not convenient. And it kind of has to do with doing things that we really don't want to do. I don't know any drunkard who wants to be a drunkard. I don't know any drug addict who wants to be an addict, who wants to use the drugs, but he doesn't want to be an addict. Now, unfortunately, sin is like that. You get started, and you just can't stop. And you're going to wind up in the pig pen. I've been there. I know what that's like. And I think every one of us, if we reflect on our lives, know that we were in the pig pen. That's where we started. But God did something amazing. God made us saints. It wasn't me. It wasn't by dint of what I decided to do. God made me a saint. And he's the only one that could do that. Now, think about what happened when the young man decided that he was going to return to his father. His father accepted him back. As much as the boy wanted to come back home, it was still up to the father to accept him back. And thankfully, we know from the story that the father was more than willing to accept him back. Now, let's think about the process of sanctification. Let's apply it to what that means to us. Sanctification is, in some respects, presented in the New Testament as a completed process. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about the saints who were in Corinth, and he calls them saints by calling. The calling of God is what makes it possible for us to be saints. That's the fact of the matter. There's nothing that I could do from the pig pen to become a saint. That was dependent upon God making that first offer. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, at verse 9, beginning, he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? When you're in the pig pen, you are not going to inherit. That's just that simple. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, or thieves, or the covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were
some of you. I'm in that list. I'm sorry to say, I started out in the pigpen. But, and this is where it becomes a great possibility, a great encouragement, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our Lord. Were it not for Jesus coming to the earth, were it not for God saying, you can be a saint, I was stuck in the pig pen. Right? I mean, we have to acknowledge that. Just like the boy in the pig pen had to acknowledge that that's where he was, nothing that he could do would ever return him to the place that he at one time felt in his father's house. It was up to his father to let him come home. Had he not let him come home, he couldn't have come home. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul talked about those Corinthians that he said had been washed. Now look at this very carefully. Because I sometimes feel this way. The Apostle says, I, brother, could not speak to you as spiritual men. And sometimes I feel like I'm not spiritual. He says, but I had to talk to you like a man of the flesh. As to infants in Christ, I give you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you are still fleshly. Now this is the same group of people that he has already called saints. Sanctification happens because of God's will. God's willingness to accept us back. I take advantage of that in baptism, and do you know what? I still have the same problems that I had before. I don't get rid of them magically, but I'm still sanctified. I am still a child of God. I have a feeling that if I was able to be around the Corinthians, I probably would decide I didn't want to have anything to do with those folks. They argued, they fought, they had people that worshiped there, that had their father's wife. I wouldn't have anything to do with them. But the Apostle Paul did. And he called them saints. That's a process that was completed when they were baptized. Did they magically free themselves of all of the filth that they had learned? Nope. But still, they were saints. That's a tremendous encouragement to me. We're not perfect. As we become sanctified people, we're not perfect, but we are saints. Romans, the 1st chapter, at verse 7, the Apostle Paul talks to the Romans. He says that they are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. In Philippians, the 1st chapter, verse 1, he says he's writing to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. In Colossians 1 and verse 2, he's writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. So I'm not free of all of the things that I did when I was in the pig pen. They still bother me. I put on Christ, I become a saint. But it remains for me to now pursue sanctification, not as a completed act, but to pursue sanctification as a process. I'm not perfect, but I'm getting better. I'm becoming more like God. And I couldn't do that unless God
help me do it.
Think back to the story of the prodigal. The young man decides he's going to come back home. And he does. He pursues coming back home. I hope that wasn't my cell phone. Every time I was teaching and I would say to my students, you need to silence your cell phone, I would always forget. And it would be mine that would ring. So I hope that wasn't mine. We come to God as the prodigal decided to come back to his father. And when the prodigal decided to come back to his father, what did his father do? He told the servant, go get clothes and give them to this, my son. I've accepted him back, but he still smells like pigs. So let's get him washed. Let's get him to change his clothes. And you know what it's like. And I'm not a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer, and I used to go down and work with him on the farm. I followed him around. It was probably more trouble than I was worth. But I used to call it working on the farm with him, and he raised pigs. I would come back home, and I would take a shower, and my mother would say, you know, you still smell like pigs. There's a great book out describing the work of elders that says, yeah, but they smell like sheep. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but they say, we're a mess. And as God enables us, we begin to put those things behind us. We pursue sanctification as a process. Yes, it's a completed process in one sense. When I'm baptized, I am a new creature in Christ. I am a sanctified person. I am set apart. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Unfortunately, I still smell like some of the old things. And so I'm going to have to pursue sanctification as a process. 1 Corinthians, let's go to the next slide. Let's look at some examples. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 1. The apostle writes to the Hebrews, he says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we heard so that we don't drift away from it. We're going to have to pursue this idea. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, at verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, and here's an interesting word, entirely. That makes it sound like this is not over and done with, and everything is settled, and we don't have anything more that we're supposed to try to do in order to live like sanctified people. But the God of peace is going to sanctify us entirely. And then he says, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Yes, I have something to do. And I do it by the power of God. Just as I can't get out of that pit again by myself, I'm going to rely on God to give me the way to get out of the pigpen. I can't pursue sanctification without God giving me the way to do that. So this is a grand thing. Not something to be afraid of, that God said to me, you need to change your clothes. You need to go take a shower. You stink. Rather, I look at it and say, thank you, God. I've been wanting to get out of that pig pen for a long time. And you took me out of the pig pen, and now I'm living in your house. And I really don't want to keep wearing the filthy rags that I was wearing in the pig pen. So thank you, God, for helping me to do better. to become more and more like you. So Christians pursue sanctification. Look at Hebrews the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 14. He says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification. So let's just eliminate that first part of the sentence. He says, pursue sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 1, he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, thank goodness I have to rely on God for sanctification as a completed process, and I have to rely on God as the means to accomplish this ongoing process. I get to rely upon God as a means of becoming closer to God. Oops, I pushed too many buttons. I want to become like God. First Peter, the first chapter, he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you by the redemption of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Yes, sanctification is a completed process. And yes, I have to keep getting better. Now, God's going to give me the power. God's going to give me the things that I need to pursue sanctification, but I still have to put the clothes on. Wouldn't it be silly if the father said to the servant, bring in new clothes, and the son said, no, I think I'll just stay where I am. I kind of like being filthy. Well, that wouldn't make any sense at all. And we would know immediately that something was wrong. Now, did the son, by changing his clothes and cleaning up, did he earn his father's approbation? Did he earn his father saying, yes, I'll take you back? Not at all. People who think that we earn salvation have a really twisted view of what salvation is all about. We can't earn it. We're in the pig pen. What are we going to do? Storm heaven and say, you have to give this to me? We can't do that. We do work, and we work hard at being Christians. We work hard at being like God. Not because we're going to earn anything when we do that, but we want to be like God. It's just the only way we could be. It's as if God has given us all of the clean clothes, and we gladly put them on. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a glorious thing. And those people that think you can earn salvation are so sadly mistaken. They think that putting on the clothes is what gets you back into your father's house. That's not the way it works. God said, I'll take you back. And here are the clothes. Now you go put them on. In 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, at verse 1, the Apostle Paul, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and the spirit. And then, importantly, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, I'm not perfect yet. I know that I still sin. I know that I have problems. I know that the things that characterized my life before I became a Christian continue to plague me. Is there anyone among us who could not raise their hand and say, that's true of me as well? But some of the things that I used to do don't bother me anymore because I've managed to overcome those things. And given time, hopefully, with the help of God, I'll continue to get better. I'll continue to look more and more and more like God. You know, somebody said that after you've been married for 15 years, you kind of start to look like your spouse. That scares him. But it's something that I kind of look forward to. After we've been with God for a while, we start to look more and more like Him. And people look at us. Wouldn't it be grand to get to the point where people would look at us and say, huh, he must have been around Jesus for a long time because he's starting to look like Him. That's all we want to do. That's the reality of being a Christian. Don't nibble around the edges of that. Don't just think, well, it's a done deal. It's a completed process. I've been baptized. I'm done. Keep getting better. Keep pursuing holiness daily. Day by day. Some of the things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. Oh, probably learned that I've got some new things that bother me now. But I get to look more and more like Jesus. That's a great promise. And it doesn't scare me when somebody says, yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with you because you're a hypocrite. You say you ought to do all of these things, but I know that you're not perfect. You're right, I'm not. And I never will be. But I can get closer to being like Jesus. And that's all that Jesus asked us to do. That's all the Father asked us to do, is to get more and more like Jesus every day. So we're gonna think about these things. We're gonna continue to get to be more and more like Jesus every day in 2020. Wouldn't it be great to say at the end of 2020, you know, I'm better than I was at the beginning of 2020. I'm not perfect, but I'm a saint. I'm a sanctified person. I've set myself apart for God because He said that was what I could do. Well, we can think about these things all year, but let's think about it particularly now. Ken's going to come down here and give us a song. If there's something we can do to help you become a Christian, climb out of the pig pen. We want to do that. Put on Jesus in baptism. That's what it takes. And if you need to put some new clothes on because God has given you a new way to live, we want to help you do that too. Repent of sin. It's a constant process. Renewed day by day, and we want to help you do that. But we want you to think about your relationship with God and where you are and where you want to be at the end of 2020. So let's all think about that while we stand and tell you stand.